What song do you want to hear, Dan?
Beer!
You are now listening to America's favorite craft beer podcast, a show that covers tricks, tips, and trends inside the craft beer industry. I am your host, craft beer enthusiast, Tom Simpson. Next to me, my co-host, a man with more untapped check-ins than you have steps on your Fitbit, the adjunct professor himself, Mr. Dan Holloway. Tune in, sit down, and drink up. And most importantly, thank you for joining us on another episode of America the Brew.
I'll do it all again. I guess I'll have to wait until then. And if I get drunk, well, I'll pass out on the floor now, baby. You won't bother me no more. And if you're drinking, well, you know that you're my friend, and I say,
welcome to Season 2, Episode 46 of America the Brutiful. If you are an active Instagrammer and listen to this podcast, you probably saw that Dan and I had a blast last weekend at the Melissa's Wings event at Alternate Ending.
Later this episode, we'll talk about how much money was raised at that event for cancer research. And guess what? It's not too late to donate more and to win some really cool beers while you're at it.
Also, a brewery whose beer you have likely had is opening their own spot, and we are super excited about it. We'll talk to him later this episode.
And is it possible to make a list of top breweries and not piss off the entire beer community? The correct answer is no. We'll talk about the list that came out of top New Jersey breweries, and it started an absolute shitstorm all over the interwebs.
We'll talk about that list with a friend of the show who definitely has some opinions, and you know we'll talk releases. It's fall, folks. There's a lot of Oktoberfest and pumpkin beers out, but also some super cool collabs. Florida going crazy with releases, Side Project doing some big dick swinging for their birthday. You'll wish you lived in St. Louis.
Yeah, that is a crazy list. We'll definitely get into that. But first, let's open our first beer.
Almost forgot.
Yeah. So, Tom, tell us what you have in your hand right now.
Okay, so in my hand, very appropriately, we have a beer that was brewed by Alternate Ending. Is their 100th batch, if you remember from last week. And that beer is called Elena. It's in memory of Maria Elena Escobar Saavedra. I hope I pronounced that right.
Yeah, Saavedra.
Saison aged with, you remember that... Jose talked about it last week. It's a Saison aged with peach and honey, 500-milliliter bottle, 6.7% ABV. And I'm very excited that we are opening it and pouring some.
Yeah, this is a real pleasure to be drinking. We're going to talk about, you think about this charity and kind of all the beers that have come out of it, right? Esker Hart Mandorla and the Barrel Age Mandorla. We'll talk a little bit later on about another beer that's kind of stemmed from all this.
By the way, the Barrel Age Mandorla.
Yeah.
You know, on a night full of like just great beers, like to the point where it's really hard to. That was one of the. It might have helped that it was in a giant Magnum.
But, yes.
But it was a standout.
Yeah, it was definitely one of the standout beers. Also at that event, the Troon beer that was brought there was one of the best Troon IPAs I've had.
Really? It was. Yep. I remember it being very good.
Yeah, so from what you remember the event.
It was like the first beer of the night.
Yeah, it was, sometimes for me with Troon IPAs, they're a little green in the beginning. That's why a lot of people like to sit on their crowlers for a long time. This one was just on the spot awesome.
Yeah. No, it was good. All right. We will be right back with our very good friend, Jose Yankee Runner 77, with an update on Melissa's Wings. Right after this.
Welcome back to Season 2, Episode 46 of America the Brutiful. As you heard at the top of the show, we talked about the Melissa's Wings event at Alternate Ending and how great of a time we had for a great cause.
We now wanted to update everyone on some of the fundraising numbers and also the fact that it's not too late to get involved and raise money. And of course, you can win beer.
So we are welcoming back Jose, YankeeRunner77 on Instagram, who hosted the event and who headed the charity. Welcome.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Nice to have you on again, Jose. Before we get into the money raised so far, we had a great time at the event. That's like an understatement. I don't know if there's a word to really describe how much fun that was.
I am very happy to hear that. I mean, everybody has told me that they had a very good time, and you know, it was nice to dance, drink, eat. Yeah, it was a blast.
Definitely. What were, like, just out of curiosity, what were some of your favorite parts? What was like the biggest lasting memory you had from that night?
The fact that I actually didn't cry too much on the speech was a highlight. But it was nice. There was people that I looked up at that kind of gave me the strength to kind of get through and kind of be like, all right, we're doing this for a cause. You have to be strong like everybody else fighting. So, let's try to keep it together and get the message across. So, that was really a highlight. And then just seeing all the amount of bottles everywhere. We had to get new buckets because I didn't realize we were going to have almost 600 bottles there.
Oh, wow. So, I guess I didn't see all 600. I probably saw 500 of them.
Yeah, I miscounted. My bad.
All right. So we know you set goals every year for fundraising, and yes, each year you raise a ton of money. It's amazing work. How much money have you raised so far right now?
So I counted this morning, actually, and right now we are at $21,200, which is absolutely amazing. The goal was $20,000, so we're well above that already. I feel like we're going to get even more with the two raffles dropping next week. Actually, three, because of I'm getting a new package from the location I'm at right now at this moment.
Can we divulge that now, where you are?
I am in New Hampshire for Oktoberfest at Schilling Beer Company. I'm standing right in front, waiting to go inside to get a beautiful Pilsner. Talking with Zach, they're very kind enough to donate a nice package to go into the event. So we're going to the raffle, sorry, and we're going to have three more raffles. So that will be Schilling, the package that they put together. Then we are going to have three crawlers from Troon with two tekus or tikus, depending on who's listening. and a bottle of BBT that was donated by Jairus.
Very nice. That's super nice.
Jose, again, just remind people how they can find you and how to donate.
Yes, so the link is on the bio. I know a lot of people are asking what the packages are exactly, so I am going to put together a post just with the list of what the packages are. I have to say packages because they say raffles, they take down the posts, so that's why I keep saying packages. So the link is in the bio. You click on the link tree, then there's a link there for Melissa's Wings. You click on it, and for every $5 you donate, you get a ticket, and you can put it in any of the, I think, 13 raffles we're going to have in total. If you pay to be in each one of the packages, you could potentially win all 13 packages.
Which would be insane.
Yeah, if you do that, you better play the lottery because luck is on your side.
All right, so listen, we know you are busy. We know there is a collab happening up there with some friends of ours. So have fun up in New Hampshire. And for those who haven't had, you know, Schilling before, they're known to make some of the best lagers in the country. After the break, we'll talk to another one of the best lager makers in the country with some big news that broke this week. So stay tuned for that coming up after this.
Until you're in my arms again, remember me. Recuérdame.
Right, welcome back to season 2, episode 46 of America the Brutiful. We mentioned it earlier. A new brewery is opening from a name you may recognize. I want to welcome in Zach Marlowe of Marlowe Ales. Zach, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with the big news. A lot of our listeners have had your beers via distro from 12%, but you recently announced on Instagram that you are opening your own brick and mortar location. For those who haven't heard the news, give us the when and where and how this all happened.
So, opening up a brew pub, it's got a full kitchen, a 7-barrel brew house, and seats for about 100 people, downtown Nyack, New York. We're looking to open the first week of November, hopefully, fingers crossed, if we can get everything taken care of. And how it happened, you know, I'd known some people in the Nyack area, and they, you know, complaining about my current situation, about wanting a little bit more control about or with my beers, and so they gave me an opportunity to, honestly, an opportunity of a lifetime where I can have exactly that, and I came in, it just kind of felt right, felt like the spot that I could curate that Marlowe experience for people, and kind of went from there. It was very, very quick. I honestly heard about this about 6 weeks ago, but now I live in Nyack, and Marlowe's officially 132 Main Street, Nyack, New York.
All right, so we went over the when, the where, the how. You talked a little bit about the why. A lot of people are familiar with your beers, so they might be thinking, okay, I've had his beers, I've been to 12%, or I've picked them up at a store, but how important is it to you to have that brick-and-mortar location that you can call home?
I mean, it's probably the most important thing. I mean, it was when coming up with the name Marlowe, you know, I decided to add the artisanal onto it despite people advising against it, because I've always wanted to have that kind of personal touch to the beers and to the brand itself. And bringing on 12%, while it was nice, it was almost too nice. And we didn't really have the chance to have that kind of intimate experience that people should have when they're drinking my beers, or at least that I wanted them to have when they were drinking my beers. And having the opportunity to do that is very exciting. It's a lot of work, but it's very exciting.
Right, right. And there's a distinction between a brewery and a brew pub, and that might have a little extra meaning for the state of New Jersey than it does in New York, but this is going to be a brew pub. And you mentioned tacos, so that definitely caught both of our set of eyes. What can we expect from the culinary end of Marlowe?
We're looking at simple food, pub food, really, but things that pair very well with the beers that I'm going to be making, made with ingredients that hopefully are locally grown, the best that we can find it or grow it ourselves. I mean, I'd like to have a significant hand within the kitchen myself, because I've run a kitchen before, but also I love to cook at home, and it's a different world cooking in a kitchen versus cooking at home, but it's just exciting thing.
All right, so let's talk about the beer again. It seems like every brewer I talk to rants and raves about your lagers and mentions, and you mentioned that you're going to have a side pull lager pour at your location, which is pretty damn exciting, if I say so myself. You make other beers besides lagers, but, you know, do you like it that you're kind of so well known in the beer community and respected for these low ABV crushers?
Yeah, that was my goal going in, was, you know, it's always Marlowe ABV. It's kind of our inside joke. I actually have a t-shirt made up that says that. But the lower the alcohol, the more difficult the beer is to make well. And that was kind of the challenge that I put out for myself, is to make these low ABV beers and do them a way that other people try to do them but can't do them as well. You know, it's easier to go bigger because you're able to mask a lot of the flavors behind bolder, bigger, more. And with the lower stuff, it's technique, it is precision, it is a challenge, and I'm always looking for the highest challenge for myself.
Yeah, I think that just on a side, you were way ahead of the curve on this, Zach, in terms of like the low ABV beers, because you see a lot of that now, right? You see like these breweries that are opening up, or even breweries that have existed that are starting to realize that, like, hey, maybe people don't want to drink like a 10% double IPA all the time, but you've been doing that for years already.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in the industry for a long time too, and I've always believed, I guess, that the market is dictated first by the brewers, even though it doesn't seem that way. I think it's dictated towards what the brewers are interested in, and that's what they're going to be trying to push, and what they're trying to make, and what they're trying to drink. I mean, back in the day, you know, when I was working at The Answer seven, eight years ago, you know, these fruited sours started coming out, and we were like, what is this? And we were losing our minds over it. It was just like such a unique thing, but then I decided then and there that it wasn't my thing. And, you know, you get to talking with these older guys who have been in it for 10 years ahead of me, and they were like, yeah, I just want lagers. I want lagers. I want low ABV. I don't, you know, I like to drink beer, but I don't need to get smashed every time I drink. It's more about longevity than anything else. And I've always kind of admired that. And so that was my goal going into it, and I'm glad that it's starting to pick up steam in the mainstream.
And that's about the biggest difference, right? These fruit puree sours that are very popular still, and kind of the brand that you've made for yourself. Now, all that said, let's talk about the opposite end. It's not just lagers and low ABV pale ales. You brewed Barrel Age Blackout Jinx, and you recently made Maximus Baby Boy, which is a 12% stout with macadamia nuts, vanilla, and coconut, named after a cat that you rescued. Tom and I are both cat guys.
Oh, yeah.
We both rescued cats. So, you know, that kind of was especially cool for both of us. But how many dark beers can we expect from you? You know, we know that you and Jason from Timber have something coming up in the works as well. Like, what's coming up on the dark end?
I mean, I think getting more beer in barrels, more beer in oak, is an advantageous thing, not only from a business perspective, but also from a curiosity perspective. Obviously, I've been leaning that way, as indicated by the beers I've been making out of Marlow at 12%. But, you know, I want to explore more oak, if I can, and get more spirit barrels in and kind of play around in that realm of things, because not only is the water very good in Nyack for those types of beers, but it's something that I do have a passion for, and I just haven't been able to fully realize that because of constraints at a contract facility. And then, you know, it is getting colder out. We're going to be opening up in November, so there's got to be some dark lagers out there, low ABV dark lagers, some dark English milds coming out. These are stuff that I haven't been able to brew at 12% because they're not something that can turn over at such a high volume. But, you know, I'm brewing seven barrels at a time, so it's like, people like it, hopefully they do, but they're going to be able to enjoy a wide variety of dark beers in a range of ABVs.
Very good. We know that you're going to be super busy over the next few months as you gear up for opening your location. What can we expect from you in the time leading up to that event?
From me?
Yeah, just to, you know, what do you have in the short-term horizon that you're releasing prior to you opening your location?
Oh, God. so I just released a new hoppy ale at 12%, which is kind of an exploration in just grains, yeast, and hops. Something I've never done before, so I used a new yeast strain that I've never used before. I used new grain profile. Like, I used Munich 1 in a pale ale, which isn't something that I'm pretty sure nobody's done in, like, the last 10 years. So it's just, like, you know, it's just, like, funny things for me to explore. And I recently fell in love with Munich using it in a different style. But, you know, I know they were using Munich back in the day for hoppy ales. And it's, like, why not go back to that and see what it does with this yeast strain and these new age hops. So I used Citra and Nelson in it. So that just released. I'm super stoked about that. September is always my ESB month, so I released the ESB out of 12%. And then on Monday and Tuesday, I'm going to be brewing my annual double IPA, despite all odds, which this year will be Citra Mosaic, Nelson, and Rewaka. And yesterday was my first brew day at Nyack.
Oh, wow.
I brewed a New Zealand pale ale, similar to Eager to Share, just lower in alcohol, and with New Zealand hops. That'll be the first beer that has ever come out of the new brew pub.
Well, despite all odds, you are going to open this year, and we are eager to share your news of this as I play on your beer names here. So thank you so much for joining us. We're really looking forward to it, and it's a great location. You know, it's especially for kind of the beer nerd that wants to jump around and see a bunch of different breweries. You're in like the perfect spot. So we are really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking for everybody to have that curated Marlowe experience that they've never been able to get before. It's going to be something that I don't think you can really kind of replicate anywhere else. I mean, looking at the space grow as it has, and Carla, my partner, who's, you know, doing all of the artwork inside. She does all my labels now, but she's doing all the artwork. She's going to be running the front of house and the taps that we're putting in. Like, it's just a very different and unique experience that I, you know, it's what I would want if I were to go to a place. And I hope that people respond positively to it.
That's great. I'm sure that they will. I know that Dan will be up there very quickly. My schedule is a little more difficult to work out, but I will also be making my way up there once you're open, and you know, hopefully we'll be able to drink a beer together when we get there.
I hope so.
All right, Zach. Thanks again. Best of luck to you in your build out and your brew days coming up, and we will see you again soon.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Thanks. Take care.
I ain't never seen nothing that'll make me go this crazy. I'm like spinning my dough. Had $1 million vibe and I brought her to go. Them birthday cakes, they stole the show. So sexual, she was flexible. Professional, drinking Xanol. Hold up, wait a minute, do I see what I think I will? Did a thing, I seen sure they get low. Ain't the same when it's up that close. Make it rain, I'm making it snow. Work the pole, I got the bang bro.
Welcome back to this week's episode of America the Brutiful. We love lists. And not only does it give us something to talk about when they come out, but mostly we love it because they're bound to piss people off.
And the list that came out from Brewery Stars is definitely no exception. The list ranks the top 20 breweries in New Jersey, and they say our rankings is quote unquote, our rankings are based on publicly available beer and venue ratings.
Before we continue, I'd like to mention that we did reach out to Brewery Stars to discuss this list, and they politely declined. Probably a smart decision, because we're going to bring in a friend to the show, Rob from Haze Boys, to weigh in. Rob, welcome.
What episode are we on here? What season is this? It feels like I haven't been on this show in God knows how long. I mean,
it is season 2, episode 46.
Oh, we're still on season 2. Holy shit. It's like the never-ending season.
It should probably be like season 3, episode 20 something, but you know, nobody's really counting here.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm just waiting for you guys eventually to stop naming seasons and just, I don't know. Anyway,
yeah, season would suggest that you stop at some point, right?
Like, yeah, right. I don't know if anything's ever stopped.
Yeah. All right, so you posted this list online. And we'll go through it in a second here, but I didn't, honestly, dude, I thought you were going to post this and maybe get a couple comments. You created a fucking shitstorm.
Well, I mean, that's kind of always the goal, isn't it? Is to post a list and just absolutely, like, shit in the beer nerds cornflakes at, like, 8 a.m.
You definitely did that.
Mission accomplished.
That's right. So, Dan, do you want to read this off real quick? Are you
sure? So here's the brewery list. It's the top 20, right? So I'm going to go in order of what they have: Kane, Icarus, Magnify, Conclave, Brick City, The Seed, Carton, Tonewood, Source, Gusto, Chilton Mill, Glasstown, Bolero Snort, Brotherton, Heavy Reel, Ludlum, Old Heights, Twin Elephant, Muckraker, and Slack Tide. In that order, those are Brewery Stars' top 20 breweries in the state of New Jersey.
I'm going to admit this right off the bat. I haven't even heard of all 20. There's a couple in here that I'm not really, like, Gusto, I couldn't tell you where they were on a map. I had no idea.
Okay. Now, well, let's talk about what's not on the list, Tom. What did not show up on the list?
I mean, the fact that it didn't show up on the list, I don't even know. True.
Right.
It's not on there.
No, listen, most glaring omission, Climax Brewing, Roselle Park, New Jersey.
I think that was the most heavily liked comment on your post, that how was Climax not on this list?
I mean, listen, I don't understand why people were sleeping on Climax. Well, I mean, usually they sleep after climax.
I don't get it either. I mean, you know, obviously nobody's, there's not enough neckbeards that have had the extra special bitter by Dave, Climax Dave.
This is true. Listen, let's start at the top. Kane, I mean, unless you're a complete fucking infant to beer, Kane is no way the top brewery in New Jersey right now. It's just, really? I mean, yeah, maybe back in like, you know, 2015.
Wow, that's a bold bold statement
there. Yeah. I'm sorry, Rob. What would you put at number one? Let's start there.
What would I put at number one? I mean, I think in terms of styles, I mean, I mean, now you got me on the spot here.
Got you on your heels.
You got me on the spot. I mean, I mean, I think you'd have to say right now in terms of hype and in terms of desire to get your hands on the beer, you have to say Trum is number one.
And it's not even on this list, which is
you have to
shocking.
I mean, it, based on their criteria with tap rooms and ratings that are available, yeah, I can see why Kane is what they are. But when was the last time anybody was clamoring over Kane beer? When was the last time anybody was clamoring over any beer? Well,
the Pappy Anteat. Well, I'm just saying. All right,
Rob, you have a formidable foe here in the adjunct right, professor. No.
Okay, so Pappy Anteat. Okay, that's the argument. Fine. People go nuts for every single Trun beer that gets released, no matter what it is online.
100% true. 100% true.
Those guys are selling IPAs, 32-ounce IPAs on the secondary for, wow, $60 to $70?
$70 to $80, really.
Which is fucking insane that somebody's paying that much money for an IPA.
No, it's true. On the secondary market, a Trun IPA has the same value as a three-year age stout from Kane. So
right,
completely right. Fair, completely fair. But the
I don't want to make it seem like, you know, I'm shitting on Kane, because I mean, listen, Kane makes a lot of great beers, but I mean, I guess in my thinking, it when I think about the top brewery, I think about what do people want to get their hands on. If you went to like a beer festival out of state, what would you line up for from New Jersey?
Well, Trun always has the longest line at any festival they go to, it seems. Just because it's so hard to get.
I mean, again, it doesn't fit the criteria of the list that we're talking about. But, I mean, if we want to just start debating what I don't know if you can say the best brewery, but even just the most sought-after brewery in New Jersey, I mean, whether that's the top brewery or not, that's certainly up for debate, but...
So let's talk about this. Also not on the list, Ghost Hawk, Alternate Ending. We mentioned Climax, not on the list. Then also Twin Elephant at number 18 on this list. There were a lot of surprises. What was your reaction when you saw this list? What was the biggest surprise to you?
Listen, my guess on Twin Elephant is that guy who left that scathing review about not having a gymboree set up for the little kids is probably the reason that it knocked them down to 18. It's my only explanation.
You might be right. You might be right. I mean, it does say venue rating. So.
Well, so that's a whole other thing. So I looked at, we'll talk Twin Elephant specifically here. I looked at their ratings with one of the breweries in the top 10. They have more ratings and higher ratings on both Untappd and Beer Advocate. More ratings, higher ratings on their beers than both. And for the F of it, I did check out Yelp. And I wonder if that's how they're judging the venue rating, because the venue ratings, like the actual, you know, if you look up a brewery, some of the ratings on some of the ones are much higher on Yelp. But is that even like a good metric for breweries? Who is going out there and being like, hey, you know what? I'm going
to
Yelp.
I don't go to Yelp if I need to go to a restaurant.
Like, no, I do. I have to.
All right. Well, maybe I'm doing the wrong thing, because I know that you got it. But I don't. I don't use Yelp for anything.
I mean, what's the definition of these rankings? What's the purpose of these rankings? I mean, if you're going on looking up Yelp reviews, I mean, that's not really necessarily a good indicator of the brewery, so to say. I mean, if you want to rate tap rooms, that's one thing. If you want to rate beer quality, that's another thing. That's why lists are stupid. I think I don't know if I had this conversation. It might have been Scott, but we were talking about, you know, just lists in general being dumb.
It's dumb, true.
Because they're so subjective. They're so stupidly subjective. But, I mean, they're great content. They're great debate fodder. They're a great way to piss people off and, you know, try and get somebody worked up and troll somebody. And, I mean, listen, mission accomplished. Hats off to Brewery Stars. Well done over there.
They definitely got attention for it.
Heard that the Virginia list, like, there might have been people who, like, severed family ties over whatever the ratings were. That's what somebody commented.
Oh, wow.
Listen, putting these types of lists together and compiling all this data, that's like a, I mean, it takes a long time to do this crap, I'm sure. I mean, and way nerdier people than they are doing this, and they're putting spreadsheets together and getting into the data. I'm not at all interested in any of that stuff, but I'm glad there's people out there that do it, because it gives me something to talk about, and it gives me something to troll people with.
So. Exactly. And I will say, I did ask them to come on. They did respectfully decline, which, totally fine. But they said that Troon was not on there, this, because I said, hey, wow, you got a lot of people fired up in New Jersey about this list that you put out there, just kind of ribbing him a little bit. And he's like, well, the reason, I didn't say anything about Troon. He just went right there and said, well, the reason that they're not on there is because they technically don't have a tap room.
Well, and that was the reason that I posted, just the exact thing that they put on, I think it was their page, which is, their ratings are based on, publicly sourced, whatever, yada, yada, yada. I don't know what they put, but, that was it. And, that's really the basis of it. But, even me just now, I went off on a whole tirade about, beers being sought after. So I'm no better than anybody who got whipped up on the comments. I mean,
let's talk about those comments, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, what was your favorite comment, Rob?
Jesus, I mean, I stopped counting after a while. I mean, it was. I mean, listen, anybody that made a comment about Climax not being on the list is certainly. I think I pinned every Climax comment.
I think you did too.
I might have missed a few too, but.
I also really enjoyed the exchange with Harry from X Beer totally trashing Magnify. No. I don't know if that was I still can't figure out if that was a joke or not, but like Magnify just jumped in on that. I was like, oh shit.
I love when anybody just starts mixing it up in the comment section over just complete nonsense. It's like a Royal Rumble sometimes. You can't turn your eyes away from it. You got to just keep reading and following it and hope that it gets better and better and better, and that it doesn't stop, because there's just some epic dumpster fires in like comment threads. Certainly. You just got to find them and seek them out sometimes. But yeah, that was a good one.
Now this is one thing that I did want to talk about. It's another list. It's another list that you saw. I saw this, on Beer Advocate. They took there was a sports betting platform, bookies.com, which I don't go to if you're thinking.
So it's okay if you do.
But they compiled a list of cost by stadium location of beer. Beer prices from every NFL stadium. And let's start with this, because this is you're probably listening to this and you're like, okay, well, the highest one's probably the Giants or maybe one of the LA teams.
I would say Giants Stadium, no doubt.
Okay. Number one, Philadelphia Eagles, $14.67 for a beer.
Listen, I love it. I love it. As a Northern Jersey person who loathes Philly sports teams with a passion, I want nothing more than the stadium to dump those drunks' pockets upside down and shake them down for every dollar they're worth while their teams are losing games. That makes me so happy.
Now, ironically, the lowest, now it's tied for the lowest, right? So there are 32 teams, 30, 31, and 32 are all tied. Detroit Lions, which... say whatever you want. They should have cheap drinks in Detroit.
Have cheap drinks. Yeah, of course. Of
that
course.
Team has been
they
dreadful.
Have terrible
forever.
Football, and it's a city that is in fucking ruins, basically. Yeah, they should have cheap beer.
Atlanta Falcons, which I thought was a little bit interesting, but the New York Jets also make this list at $6.25. And you got some other info, Rob, about even cheaper beer there.
Listen. And that's why I'm so happy that the Jets have finally won something. As a lifelong Jets fan, long suffering, never, ever have seen a Super Bowl win in my lifetime. The fact that the cheapest beer is provided is fantastic. And I said this before, you know, Jets fans are poor quality people, mentally.
And you're saying this as a Jets fan.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about people like me, very, very poor quality human beings, and we just are trying to grab onto something that will make us happy, and at the same time, drink some cheap beer. So it's a win-win. It's a good old attaboy for those of us who continue to suffer year in and year out watching that pathetic team. But yeah, I got a little info. I just did, like, you guys know that the last place, the third place medal meme with the guy who's on the podium and he's like,
oh yeah, of course,
and he got the bronze. So I just basically did that meme, but like a whole bunch more guys and hit the Jets fan on the bottom. But yeah, there's a post that I just threw up on even my Instagram story that says between, and I got to throw a little shout out to my boy, the cat.
Meow.
Who found this information. But between sections 347 and 348, there's apparently a cart that sells quote-unquote value beer for $5 a pop, and it serves Miller High Life.
I wish that the beer was just a can that said value beer on it. That was $5.
Yeah, that would be outstanding. But still, I mean, listen, if you can go and get a $5 High Life at Giant Stadium to watch the Jets lose, that's
amazing. Good luck finding that in a bar.
Consolation prize.
It is.
It's not bad.
And they have the Giants, for those Giants fans out there, are coming at number 9 at $11, which makes me wonder, are the beer prices really different in the same stadium for the different teams?
Wait, who are the teams that are coming in above the Giants?
So the Eagles are number 1, $14.67. The two LA teams, the Chargers and Rams, are second and third at $13.75.
California's fucked up.
Las Vegas Raiders at $12. Then the 49ers, the Saints, and the Jaguars are all at $11.50. And then the Giants, Dolphins, and Washington Commanders.
The Jacksonville Jaguars sell more expensive beer than the New York Giants.
It appears so.
That is a
travesty.
Almost unbelievable.
It is.
Can we just get back to the fact that, you know, the differences between Jets and Giants beer and the differences between the quality of people that watch those games?
Sure.
When I think Giants fans, I think of, you know, obviously people who are a little bit, you know, better off. I think of people who are more used to winning. They seem to have a little bit better taste.
I think the word is cultured.
Cultured, yeah. And then when you think of Jets fans, you think of people like me. You think of people like Lorenzo the Beer Cat. You think of people like Johnny at D96. And we're like real salt of the earth people who are, you know, we struggle. Oh, yes, in, no, we struggle in some things in some areas in life. You know, think about that. I think it's MetLife Stadium understanding its clientele and taking care of the little guy mentally and emotionally and financially. Like I said, really, really, actually, this shines a whole new light on my thinking of their business model and what they do for their fans. So, hats off to MetLife.
That's right. All right, Rob. Look, before we let you go, fall is upon us. What can we expect the Hayes boys to be drinking? Are we going pumpkin lactose sours, cold brew pumpkin, or some pumpkin seltzers? Or no pumpkin at all?
There's absolutely zero pumpkin beers going on in my fridge. I mean, listen, like everybody else, it's, you know, falls upon us. We still have a little decent weather. We're going Crispies, obviously. Still a good time of year to crack into the Crispies. We're starting to crack into some stouts over here. I would say, one of my favorite things currently right now is a good single hop IPA.
Nice. Hazy.
Those are nice. So, you know, but obviously, you know, drink whatever is to your liking, which I'm sure all you idiots do anyway, and you argue about it on the internet. So,
agreed. Thank you very much for joining us, Rob.
No problem, boys. Thanks for having me, as always.
As always, when we get back, we have local and national releases for you. All that after this. I was wrong. So-
destruction. Grab me again, I was wrong. I pay in halves now, but I was wrong, I was wrong. Self-destruction.
Season 2, episode 46 of America the Brutiful. We had a, I don't know what you call it, a gaggle of guests on today. I don't know what the reference would be for that, but a bunch of guests. It was a great time. You know, Zach, obviously, we've never had him on the show before. Great to follow up with Jose. Fantastic that he blew it out of the water with the money that he's raising. And you know what, Rob, you know, I love Rob. He's always, always good. Always good for a laugh. And now we're at the, you know, my favorite part of the show is local releases and national releases.
All right, but before we get to those releases, I have a collab here that came out a few weeks ago, but this beer, so actually I had no intention of actually being able to find this beer at this point.
I just assumed that that was fucking long gone.
So I, you know, my work has been trying to get people to go back into the office, which means back in New York City. I'm walking distance from Clinton Gourmet Market. I say, hey, what the hell? Let me go and see what I can find. I find this baby on the shelf. It's the Other Half Root and Branch collab. All we ever wanted was everything. So we're going to have it now.
That's wonderful. I'm so glad that you found that and bought it.
Yeah, it was really an amazing selection of stuff I bought there. I got this. I got a can of Mandorla. I got, what else did I get? I got the LGA to LGB there. I got a Mortalis Sour.
Bro, how, this is how you know the industry is just totally different. How the how is there an Other Half Monkish collab sitting on a shelf at a beer store? Now it's Manhattan, and it's probably the best, one of the best beer stores in the country, but yeah. How does that happen?
I don't know. I don't know, but I was happy. So
that's great.
So we'll start off with this, and then you know we'll talk a little bit about we'll start with Root and Branch because this is another half Root and Branch collab that we're about to have. They just did a wait, you love this beer apparently.
This is a great beer.
Okay.
Oh, it's a great
IPA. I have not gotten a sip yet.
It's a great IPA. I mean, I'd say it's more Root and Branch than Other Half.
Okay.
Even though it was at Other Half's facility. Fantastic.
So Root and Branch just did a collab. We had talked a little bit about it. We didn't know what the beer was actually going to be, but they did a collab recently with Brujos. And this beer, I think if you're thinking it's Root and Branch and Brujos doing a collab, it's probably an IPA. If you thought that, you'd be wrong.
That's right. It is a Russian Imperial Stout. In fact, it was boiled for 4 hours and fermented with their house English ale strain, cold condition on coconut, hazelnuts, and Ugandan vanilla beans.
Name of the beer is A Spell for the Death of Man. And this is going to be, you're going to start seeing a lot of these collabs come out with Brujos on the East Coast. They just left here. Troon, Fidens, I believe Mortalis. I'm missing a few of them, but they came to the East Coast. They did a whole East Coast tour. I think 8-state too. I mean, really
they've,
all
they've
up
got their
down.
Finger on the pulse of what's going on over here. I mean, I don't, you know, there's a lot of like West Coast breweries that probably exist, you know, the equivalency of Troon and things like that, that I'm just not really aware of. The fact that they hit all those guys up, Fidens, Troon, you know, like they've got a pretty good, you know, finger on a pulse there.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about, because Root and Branch has been just pumping out beers, man. So they have been pumping out beer after beer.
Sure.
I'll start with another one of the beers that they released, A Grammatical Fiction. It's a multi-oat single wheat IPA, brewed and dry hop with Citra, Comet, and Simcoe hops.
They also have Infiltrator, single hop multi-oat wheat IPA, brewed and dry hop with Freestyle Nelson hops.
Now, here is a collab that they did with Hudson Valley. This one has one of those names, man, that people love, right? This is the name of the beer. The Second Discourse on the Method of Rightly Conducting One's Reason and of Seeking Truth in the Brewing Sciences. It is a multi-oat wheat double IPA brewed with New York raspberry honey and Citra, Belma, and Strata hops. Again, a Hudson Valley collab.
That sounds delicious. I don't even know what raspberry honey is, but I'd be curious to try it in that beer. A note on the translation, etc. Micro malty oat wheat sour IPA brewed with milk sugar, white tea, and freestyle petrarine hops, and fermented with peach puree. It's 3.5%, little baby beer.
It's a little baby beer. It's a cute one, right? Life and Fate 12, experimental malty oat double wheat IPA brewed with freestyle peacherine hops and an experimental hop sent by the folks at Fast Fashion, which is way out west in the U.S.
Growing Up Absurd, malty oat wheat double brewed and dry hopped with a proprietary blend of American hops.
And this one sounds super cool. It's called In Search of Lost Time West Coast Double Honey IPA. Brewed and aggressively dry hopped with Citra, Motueka, and Strata hops. It was also dosed with New York State Wildflower Honey. Now let's talk about one thing Other Half did last week. Or, you know, it's Oktoberfest season. You see a lot of these Oktoberfest beers come out. Other Half had a really cool Oktoberfest event on the 17th.
That's right. They celebrated Oktoberfest with 8 fresh lagers, including a Pilsner collab with Schilling and Halfway Crooks and Burial.
That's super cool. Love the fact that kind of all these breweries got together to make an Oktoberfest beer. Well, like or a Pilsner, you know, but to make a lager. You think about these collabs, and it's a lot of times it's IPAs or stouts with a bazillion adjuncts. Nice and simple.
By the way, they could release beers like this all day. This Other Half Root and Branch collab.
Yes.
This is a very good hazy IPA.
All right, let's talk about Equilibrium, because they did a collab with our pals at Obercreek.
That's right. Linear Phase is a whirlpool of Citra and Strata before dry hopping this beer with Citra, Strata, and Galaxy.
And so last week we talked about Alfajores, which was the collab they did with Aslan. They also released a barrel-aged version of that. Also on the IPA front, Terra Bitrate Fluctuation, double IPA collab with Weldworks. And check out this. Citra Incognito, Citra T90s, and Idaho 7 was added to the whirlpool with a huge dry hop of Strata, Citra, Galaxy, and Brew 1. Now, we, in the beginning of this show, and a few times have mentioned the Melissa's Wings event, one person who we hung out with for a good portion of the night, Johnny from District 96.
That's right.
And they got some cool stuff going on there, man. So let's talk about those.
So Coat of Arms, 6% Oktoberfest. It's available in half liter, $5, and 1 liter, $10 if you visit. You cannot beat that deal.
1 liter of beer for $10 makes me think of, like, I don't know, when I was younger.
This is like Das Boot, right? I mean, that's basically like a liter of beer. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
And they released a beer that's very fall centric.
The Hello Gorgeous.
Yes.
Right? And that's a good beer. That's a great fall beer. I've had it before, probably a couple times. I know they've released it for at least twice now.
And I believe Johnny said that's one of the best sellers at District 96.
I believe it. It's a very good beer, you know? And then they're also doing Vice Porter, which is a vanilla porter.
Yeah. So we'll stay up in that area a bit. Hudson Valley released 2 new beers in the Tradewinds series. So Tradewinds 4, sour IPA, milk sugar, strawberry, coconut, lime, pineapple, and almond, hopped with Galaxy and Mosaic. And they also did Tradewinds 5, sour double IPA, milk sugar, blueberry, Earl Grey, very interesting, lemon, pineapple, and almond, also hopped, Galaxy and Mosaic.
Very nice. Tin Barn, the Queen Touches the Sun.
And by the way, if Rich from Tin Barn is listening, you are the reason I got drunk. Because I could drink beer.
Where did that come from?
I could drink beer forever. I could drink beer for hours and hours and hours and be fine. He goes to me. He says to me at the Melissa's Wings event, he's like, hey, man, going to the bar. You want to drink? Sure. This is a beer event, right? I'm thinking, okay, cool. There's like Mandorla's on tap. There's a Troon on tap. Obviously, all the alternate ending beers are on tap. He comes back with a cocktail. It was a gin and jam cocktail. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I drank it. It was delicious. But that's what got me a little messed up.
I don't know if I drank a whole one or if I just had a sip of his. But I do remember like a large amount of jam on a spoon that was put into a glass.
Yeah. It was a delicious drink, but if you guys watched the Lorenzo the Beer Cat reel and were like, hey, why is Dan so drunk? That's why.
Sure. Yeah, I'm sure it was that one drink that just really did it. That's why we passed out in the Uber. But anyway, the Queen Touches the Sun. This is a collab with Icarus Brewing. It's a triple New England IPA that was Whirlpool hopped with Idaho 7 and triple dry hopped with Citra Nelson and with new HBC 586.
Which is a very popular one. I feel like everybody is experimenting with that experimental hop. Kaleidoscope Eyes 10, watermelon, strawberry, raspberry, pineapple. Great series. Very delicious beers.
Surreal number 2, single New England IPA, mash hopped with New York Cascade, bio hopped with Citra Spectrum, and dry hopped with Citra Nelson and Simcoe.
Hopalo 11, Motueka rounds out a hop bill of Citra, Motueka, and Huel Melon.
Cosmic Destroyer, IPA utilizing Phantasm powder and Cosmic Punch yeast with massive tropical fruit aromatics. They paired it with Citra and Nelson.
Oh, they use Citra. Interesting. Right down the road, Drownlands did something that I think was really cool, and I kind of hope it's a trend that catches on. On September 24th, they did a special outdoor screening of School of Rock. It was $15, but like that's cool, man. I love going to movies and outdoor things. It's like a combination of both plus a brewery. Pretty sweet.
Did you know that School of Rock was filmed in the town that we were recording this podcast in?
Today? I did not know that.
Edison, New Jersey.
Wow.
Part of it was.
Wow, did not know that.
Yep. They also did Black Gold Stouts. They have a base version. They have a coconut, which is chocolate ganache chilled pie with a flaked coconut crust. And then it says breakfast, a large dark mocha iced latte with 2 shots of espresso. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, that's the, you know, cool. I have yet to have any of their dark beers.
Same here.
So they also did a double IPA Tillage, which was, you know, Pilsner malt, flake oats, unmalted wheat, hopped aggressively in the kettle with Citra and Mosaic, then double dry hopped with almost all Nelson.
I will say this on a side, because you said you have never had their dark beers, and I think I'm with you. I don't know if I don't think I ever did. Maybe a can of something. But at the Melissa's Wings, the people did have those. I don't know what they were. Wild ale, something using like Chardonnay grapes or Sauvignon Blanc grapes. Did you have any of that?
I don't know if I. Oh, yes, I did have it.
Very good.
Yes, the one that was.
They were in like odd shaped bottles.
Yes.
Almost like an ice wine or something.
Yeah.
You know, it was very, very good. I was impressed.
All right, so they also released Suzanne, classic West Coast style IPA, hopped with Comet and Cascade, also Amarillo and Citra in that one.
And Tilth, 5.4% Sauvignon Blanc Saison.
Evil Twin NYC. Gotta love this name. I've never been this far down the L before. It's a 7% double dry hopped IPA with Citra and Galaxy.
And no Phantasm, no care. Double dry hop sour IPA with real Sauvignon Blanc must.
Also, this is one that I'm glad to see some of these back because I haven't seen any of these in a while. Dr. Jepper Cherry. It's a soda style sour brewed with pepper soda syrup. You know what that is. And cherry.
Greenhouse dark no mames conditioned on oak aged fooder. Mexican black lager. It was a collab with Trippy Animals.
Very nice. Let's go to New Jersey. Let's talk about Four City Brewing. They celebrated their 3rd anniversary recently, and they came out with a few different beers. We'll start with the first one. It's called Four Cold Villains. Cold IPA, as they call it. It's, a lager.
Oh, is that what it is?
Well, I don't know. I'm guessing, right? Most of these places that say cold IPA,
IPL. Ale? It's not a cold IPA.
Well, okay. That's what a lot of people... Anyway, hopped with Mosaic, Cryo, and Citra. That was a collab with... So they say Two Villains, Never Dead Beer, because Two Villains, their location closed. They are continuing to make beer under the name Never Dead Beer.
They also have Hazy Hef. 6.5%. It's a collaboration with Seven Tribesmen.
They also did Juice Planet 10, triple IPA with Nectaron, Strata, and Galaxy Hops. And they did 2-pack cans. Tell us about that.
Ooh, 2-pack cans. Ride in style. 14.7% is a barrel-aged stout aged in ragtime rye barrels from New York distilling and conditioned on cocoa nibs, coffee beans, and vanilla.
All right, so Twin Elephant. I want to get into... something that they're doing. But before we do that, let's talk about a few of their beers. You know what we're going to do? We're going to open another beer right now, because this was a beer that was sent to us a few weeks ago. We had mentioned Noble Savage.
That's right.
As one of the up-and-coming breweries. And I said, I have never had anything from Noble Savage.
Same here.
So what happened? Somebody said, hey, I'm sending you some Noble Savage beers. I said, thank you very much. So this one is called Situational Design. It's a 6.7 ABV IPA. There you go, Tom.
Very nice. Very nice.
And now I'll talk about some of the Twin Elephant beers. And then I'll talk about something they're doing, which I'm very excited about. So they released Vigilante Tantrum, American IPA with Citra, Simcoe, and El Dorado, and Intergalactic Kegger, an American IPA with Strata, Citra, and Nelson Sauvin. But one thing that they made an announcement of, and I'm very excited about this, is they have a lot of live music coming up.
That's right. Friday, September 30th, 7 p.m. Get this, folks. It's a free show. Adam Rubinstein from Chamberlain, and then special guest Chris Batten from Chris Batten in the Woods, No Wake, Eli of Break to Broken. Saturday, October 29th at 7 p.m. There's a cover on this one, $15. It ain't too bad. Mark and Kevin from Shades Apart with special guests Brian Carley from Penfold and Ryan Shelkett from Liars Academy.
And this one is one I'm super excited about. I already got my tickets for it. Friday, November 18th, 7 p.m., $15 if you want to go to it. It's Heath from Midtown is going to be there. Their special guests are Jeff from Game Face and Will from Neck Scars. So that one's one I'm like kind of excited about. I got my tickets.
Oh, you got your ticket.
I got my tickets to that one, yes.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Let's talk about Troon. By the time we finish this broadcast, I'm sure our phones will have gone off and we have missed another Troon release.
It's going to be that
but,
time.
But they did two hoppy ales recently.
Intrusive Thought, this is an 8.3 percenter, and Ludicrous Display, 9.2%. Both hoppy ales, both, I'm sure, very delicious. I am itching to get down to Brick Farm again. It's been a while.
You can bring the young in there.
Yeah, I will. You know, in the summertime, it's always like 95 degrees every day. I'm not going to sit outside with him.
It's true. You know, it's true.
Now is a good time.
All right. Brick City, they released Source of the Jams. It's a collab with Source. Makes sense, right?
Very nice.
8% New England-style double IPA. They used a new hop product, Salvo, to the Whirlpool to enhance what they said is hop aroma and flavor. Double dry hopping of Citra, Idaho 7 Mosaic, and Citra Pop. Cryo Pop, which is a proprietary blend of cryo hops to this.
Very nice. They also have New Zealand, 8% ABV West Coast style double with double dry hop with a ton of Waimea and Southern Cross. Did you try this Noble Savage yet?
I'm about to sip it right now.
Fucking delicious. Is the another beer that they're releasing?
Good.
Yes. Is this Citra? 5.25% ABV. It's a single hop New England style pale ale, dry hopped exclusively with loads of tasty Citra and Citra Cryo.
We're going to have to figure out a way at some point to make our way up to Long Island, visit Root and Branch's location, which I still have not been to, and Noble Savage.
I just drove out to the Hamptons this past week for business.
Oh, you could have done it.
No, listen, for business. Now I left 6:30 in the morning. Right? So already I made a mistake. I should have left at 5:30. 4 hours there, 4 hours back.
Oof.
I was literally out about 20 minutes west of Montauk, and the ladies, I was like, yeah, I need to be home at like 5 o'clock. It was 1 o'clock. She goes, you better leave, like, right now. She was right. I got home at 10 after 5.
Wow.
Holy shit. Yeah. So we will go out to Long Island, but not as far as I went. Much further west, much closer to home.
I used to go fishing out of Montauk every year when my dad lived in Queens. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's nice out there.
All right, alternate ending. We talked about it several times already. They made a beer for Squatch Fest 2022, and that's called Man-O-Lantern. It's a 5% pale ale with Strata, Comet, and Galaxy. Also, ahead of Squatch Fest, we're hearing some rumbles about a beer.
That would be Space Squatch. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be called. Yeah. You know,
it's called Space Squatch, but we don't know much else about it.
Yeah.
From Eskerhart. Also, Elena, which we had earlier today in this episode.
Beautiful beer.
Let's talk about the seed, because they did something that looks beautiful.
This is called One Song. strawberry and Cab Franc. Oak fermented and matured Saison brewed using solely grains grown and malted at the Rabbit Hill Malt House and re-fermented on a whole bunch of super ripe Walking Bird Farm strawberries after a relatively short 1 week whole cluster Cab Franc skin contact. And staying in New Jersey, heading up a little bit further north, Magnify. Magnify will be releasing Bourbon Barrel Aged State Fair. It's a 13% ABV. Listen to this bad boy. This fried Oreo and cannoli-inspired Imperial Stout was brewed with 50 pounds of cannoli cream from Calandra's Bakery in Fairfield, aged in bourbon barrels for a year, and conditioned on Oreos and powdered sugar.
This should have been the lead of the show. We should have just talked about this beer. So gaudy, right? It's
so gaudy.
It's like a pastry boy's dream. And Calandra's is one of the best bakeries, one of the best and most well-known bakeries in the state of New Jersey.
That's right.
Now, fall season. You think fall beers. You think pumpkin beers. They did one that's very different, right? So pumpkin spice cheesecake Mind Over Matter. Uh-huh. It's the Mind Over Matter Milk Stout series. This one is brewed with lactose, cocoa nibs, cheesecake, pumpkin spice, and vanilla.
I'm sure it's going to be delicious. Just reading that description makes me have to go to the bathroom. Next, Free Throw, 5.9%. Part of the NBA Jam-inspired series of hoppy beers, a single IPA is hopped with Mosaic, Eldorado, and Mosaic Cryo.
Also, Icarus did Oat Fluffed Milkshaking It, 8.1%, heavily weeded, extremely heavily oated, Northeast Imperial Milkshake IPA. But get this, it's lactose-free, which milkshaking it, that whole thing, you know, is known for the lactose.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. Milkshaking It was one of the first shelfies that I got where I was like, whoa, like, this is fucking good, man. Like, I don't have to, like, I don't necessarily have to drive to Brooklyn to go get great beer. Like, I can get, and, you know, I mean, it was steeped in lactose, right? Just the name of the beer itself, milkshaking. So the fact that I'm like, this is one of the more interesting releases that I've seen in a while.
Yeah, it definitely is.
You know, and if you go to the store, you see they use like oat milk and shit like that, you know, so it's interesting.
What they say is they condition it on a massive amount of Madagascar vanilla beans, and they said to mimic the effects of lactose, they oat fluffed by adding what they call a ridiculous amount of oats to the mash.
Nothing like good old oat fluff.
They also did Mr. Oktoberfest, which is a great name for a beer that I don't even know if it's been used before.
Strange.
But it's a 5.4% traditional German-style Marzen lager.
And then Hoppy Little Accidents, New England-style IPA, was brewed with Scottish Golden Promise Bond roasted oats, malted oats, flaked wheat, alongside mash hopping with South African Experimental XJAZ Whirlpool, hopped with Incognito Citra, then dry hopped with Lupulin Citra, Lupulin Eldorado, and Huel Melon.
And a better view, American IPA, hopped in the kettle with Columbus, Simcoe, and Centennial, then dry hopped with additional of all those hops. And Ghost Hawk, I'm going to mess up this name. Synthesia.
Sure.
One of the four beers they brewed ahead of the Poured Fresh festival. It's a juicy double IPA brewed with Bravo Salvo, Simcoe, Idaho 7, and Eldorado. Let's talk national releases. We mentioned this at the top of the show. Side Project is going bonkers.
They sure are. Not really a new release to talk about, but Swansea Day aligns with their birthday, and man, oh man, do they have a lot of cool stuff on draft.
I mean, it's insane. We'll start with the Friday release, or Friday. These are the things they had on draft. Friday, Derivation 9, BVC, the Wine and Cheese Place Derivation, and Double Barrel Generational.
Wow. I mean, you can just stop there.
You would think that would be the best day.
You would think.
You'd be wrong.
Saturday, Double Barrel Anabusis, BBT, 2018, 2019, 2020, and 2021.
Sunday, Derivation Blend 11 and 3 barrel-aged coconut stouts.
Monday, we've got Rye BBT 2020 and the 3 Double Barrel Derivations, Double Vanilla, Stag Junior, and Port.
crazy, crazy, crazy.
All right, wait, what day are you going? Let's just say, I maybe you will go to St. Louis. I don't know what you
well,
do
I'm
going to
be
shock and amaze me on a regular basis.
So. Well, for Swansea Day, we'll be in Philadelphia at Monk's Cafe.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, okay, there we go.
Let's talk about the they released a big beer called Terminus, a narrow gauge collab. Willett bourbon barrel aged rye imperial stout. 8 malt imperial recipe. 4 of those malts were rye. Aged exclusively in Willett family estate 5-year bourbon barrels. After 27 months of aging, they blended the bourbon barrels exclusively for a bourbon-only expression, they said of this.
Bourbon-only expression.
And this was one of those that you got to follow Side Project on Instagram. It pops up. If you look at it, you're like, oh, shit, this is on sale right now. Sells out immediately.
Yeah, no, it's not. Not by the time you get to the website.
Yeah.
The answer, double barrel mouthful of nuts for their birthday.
It's one of these cool little cans that they make.
Oh, yeah, it's a little can.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to sell for $50 for
on secondary,
ounce.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Mortalis. They did a really cool... collab with Imprint.
Barrel aged, written in the stars. The Purple Wax. This Imperial Stout was brewed in collaboration with Imprint. Base was aged 16 months in a Willett rye barrel before being conditioned on Jamaican Blue Mountain coffee, Dominican cocoa nibs, and toasted coconut.
And this one's super cool. Doughboy's Pretzel Cookie. Imperial Stout conditioned on butterscotch, salt, and cocoa nibs.
Ooh. The fillings are mutual, like that name. Collab with other half, the Finger Lakes location, as their base sour received Concord grapes and crumble treatment. Contains granola and coconut to emulate flavors of the iconic New York grape pie. I don't think I've ever had one of those.
They also did a collab with Heavy Real called Thick Hydra. It is with passion fruit, mango, blackberry, and funnel cake with confectionery sugar.
Yum. More Hydra, more better. Fruited Sour, brewed in collaboration with The Beer Keep. It blends raspberry, blueberry, orange, marshmallow, and graham cracker.
All right, so Monkish did a few collabs. Japulzi was a collab with Trillium and Vale. Double dry hopped, triple IPA with Peacherine hops from Freestyle Hops in New Zealand and Yakima Chief. It combines Citra, Mosaic, and Simcoe along with Phantasm into cryo pellets. They also did a second collab with Trillium and Vale called Tidbits, triple dry hopped with Rakow, Galaxy, and Enigma hops.
Very, very nice.
Let's go to probably one of the furthest breweries from Monkish and talk about Odd by Nature.
Odd by Nature. First they're sour, then they're sweet. This is a collab with Definitive Brewing. It's a sour ale with mango, passion fruit, pineapple, marshmallow, and Sour Patch Kids.
They also did Oddtoberfest, which is a 5.6% fest beer.
Burial, where everything was perfect in the pits of aimless dissatisfaction. This is an imperial stout with Madagascar and Mexican vanilla beans, macaroon coconut, milk sugar, Meyer lemon, and candy confetti. I tell you, man, some of these guys here are fucking laying it on. You know, we had fucking Zach over here talking about these clean, low ABV beers. And, you know, the industry is just, it's becoming polarized. It's like,
it really
it's like,
is.
It's like politics, you know.
It really is, though. You have a lot of the kind of clean, easy drinking, low ABV crispy boys. And then you have the super, super adjunct stuff. Let's talk about super, super adjunct stuff. And where is that? One of the states where it's most prevalent? Florida.
That's right.
So Jay Wakefield released 4 of their favorites, right? These are beers that they are known for. Cuvée de Wakefield, Miami Madness, Big Papa, and Two Phones, which is a banana stout. Cuvée and Miami were both available on Tavor, too, which was pretty cool.
That's wild.
And when I looked at my app, it said that Two Phones was available and sold out super quick because I never even got a notification that it was available.
That's wild. Staying in Florida, Corporate Ladder, 3 double barrel releases. We don't even really know what they are yet. Huh?
At the time of this podcast, they had not released all the information on these. Angry Chair is releasing Banana Cinnamon Fionn.
Oh,
sounds awesome.
That does sound awesome. Hidden Springs Ale Works. Do it for the gram. S'mores inspired barrel aged imperial sweet stout aged in a blend of brandy and bourbon barrels and conditioned on sweet Madagascar vanilla beans, fluffy marshmallows, and roasted cocoa nibs.
They also did In Between Dreams, barrel-aged imperial sweet stout aged in a blend of wheated Weller and double-oaked Woodford Reserve barrels, then conditioned on decadent vanilla beans from Madagascar, roasted cocoa nibs, and in-house roasted hazelnuts.
And that's not all. Fluffle Wagon. Interesting name. Fluffer Nutter-inspired barrel-aged imperial sweet stout aged in a blend of Buffalo Trace and Willett bourbon barrels and conditioned on loads of pillowy marshmallows and creamy peanut butter.
And finally, let's talk Magnanimous. They're celebrating their second anniversary from September 30th to October 2nd. They're going to release 11 cans and bottles, three of which are barrel-aged beers. But one of the ones that they recently released, great name, Bury Yourself Alive, fruited sour with blueberries, raspberries, and blackberries.
And they're celebrating their second anniversary, September 30th to October 2nd. 11 cans and bottles, three of which are barrel-aged beers.
All right. That was a lot. We talked about a lot of things. Thanks so much for joining us.
Until next time, America, drink up and stay beautiful.
One must always pick the best time to drop the worst lines. You almost made me cry again this time. Another false alarm, red flashing lights. Well, this time I'm not going to watch myself die. I think I made it a game to play your game and let myself cry. Buried myself alive on the inside so I could shut you out and let you go away for a long time. Myself and felt fine, but it was worth the night. I caught an early flight and I made it.